ahead. You can be seated. Amen. 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 We are so glad to have the Children's Christmas program right now. It's a little different than we often do, but I think you'll enjoy. Come to the manger. Let's.
Have I got a story to tell? One you may know very well. It has angels, shepherds, magi, and stars shining bright on this holiest of holiest, Christmas Eve night. It's about hoping that good dreams we've long had will come true. It's a love story from heaven, a love story written for you. And with much anticipating, we've been a long time waiting for this day so elating to finally be here. So without further ado, come, let me take you to the manger where all the hopes and dreams of the world will come true.
Look, here comes blessed Mary and her faithful husband Joseph. They've been traveling a long way from the little town of Nazareth. The days have been tough, the road has been hard, but finally, up ahead, Bethlehem sits not too far.
God told Mary she was going to have a little baby, a sweet and perfect baby boy. And it's almost time for him to come and to give the world great joy. And after such a long trip, she is most ready to rest. But all the rooms in the inns of this tiny town are taken. But one innkeeper does his best.
He had no room in his inn. They were already packed to the brim. Like them, many had traveled far for the census that Caesar demanded so he could boast and raise taxes. But what he had, he gave. He was sorry it wasn't much. It was his stable where the animals sleep. Tonight, maybe they can help keep them warm and such.
So they went to the stable, and there Mary and Joseph were able to thank God for providing them some place and some peace. It was going to be a good story for the ages, at least, because there amongst oxen and donkeys and rams, amongst strange noises and even stranger smells, was born the great I Am, God's holy perfect lamb, a baby's boy, heaven's joy, the savior of all man.
Jesus, God's only son, the perfect gift for a weary world. Jesus, God intended him for the manger, and then so much more. Jesus, like a light in the darkness, he came to make hopes real. Jesus, he would be for all people. And we'll start with some shepherds in the field.
Come, all you shepherds, come now. Now's the time to tend our flocks through the cold, cold, dark night. Come, all you shepherds, we need you in the fields here. The sheep are bleating for their shepherds to come near. Come, shepherds, come. We work hard to protect our sheep, and when night comes, we are still working, even as we sleep on the cold, cold ground. There are wild animals all around, so we have to keep watch to make sure our sheep do not wander or get taken away. That's how we devote our lives each day. We are shepherds, and although we are very, very, very poor, we must be worth so much more than the dirt we sleep in on the floor. Because, well, wait and see.
Heaven is preparing a chorus to sing of a birth of a baby, Jesus, the King of Kings. So come angels, from every corner of heaven, come. Come angels, the Lord has summoned his heavenly host to announce his holy little one. Come, angels, we must tell the world of this gift God has given to all mankind. So come now, angels, come and ready yourselves to sing praises to the Lord Most High. Hark ye, herald angels, the heart of heaven has taken on humanity. God's love for all I can see, born this day just a tiny baby. But his love is huge, and we must say it loud. God himself to the earth has come down. We are the first in time to tell this timeless story of God taking off his glory and walking in his own story. Of God taking off his own glory. Are you ready? Are you ready? Watch and you will see. Nothing will ever be the same after this declaration we are making. So don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy. In Bethlehem, a baby is born. And he is so much more than just a little boy. He is for all people. He is born for you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Come and see him, all of you.
God wants to see us shepherds? He wants us to see the birth of his son? But who are we that God would want us to greet the Holy One? We are poor, nothing great. Could this gift really be for everyone? Are you sure he wants us to come to the manger?
Jesus is a gift for all people, so don't be a stranger. He's just over there, born poor, just like you in a stable. All who are able, come to the manger. Angels, now is the moment. With joyful voices, we raise glorious praise. Sing praises with me. Glory to God in the highest.
Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest.
Now go.
Should we go to Bethlehem and see this gift of love sent from above that God has given to you and me?
Yes.
Yes.
Then come to the manger with me.
So these poor shepherds came. God himself invited them to see his gift for all people. They came to the manger on bended knee, and Mary delighted to share Jesus with them. He would grow strong and love all people, even the poorest, like him.
And now, on that first Christmas day, in a land far away, some wise men stood gazing at the sky, for a star shone most bright, the holiest of nights, over Bethlehem, and these magi wondered why.
Could this be? Was it true? I've heard about this, a light sent from heaven. We cannot dismiss this sign and a chance to go see this little baby born the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, most holy. He is the one who will save all there is to save. Come, we must go through it, though it be a long way. So come, all ye magi, come, who are wise enough to make the long journey, and see heaven's eyes in the face of a child who gives love without bias to all nations, to all people. See the star, like heaven's steeple? So come, magi, come. We have a long journey ahead. Come, magi, come. The road will be our bed until we lay our head and our gifts at the feet of this little king. Come, all who are wise, and we will bring the very best we have to offer. We will empty our coffers. And still, could we ever bring enough treasures to honor such a king?
So these magi from far away, though the journey was so long, packed up their best gifts to bring to Jesus and went on and on for days upon days and weeks upon weeks until finally in Bethlehem they found what they went to seek, a sweet little boy, heaven's heart, the world's joy, a tiny little king who would bring peace to all from the very greatest to the very least.
We bring gold, we bring frankincense, we bring precious myrrh. We bring all that we have to honor this Savior. We lay down our gifts at his tiny treasure's feet. Come, Magi, lay down your gifts here. Do not keep anything from Jesus that you have to give. All who are wise, give your treasures. And when every treasure to give has been given, you live your life today. Live your life like the treasures you are, a treasure of God's to give away.
Jesus, the name that holds the weight of a world.
Jesus, the hope of every man, woman, boy, and girl.
Like a light in the darkness, God's Son humbly came.
Like a light in great darkness, he carried the name of God to the orphans, the lonely, and the lame.
He brought hope to the hopeless, and he can do the same to those still walking in darkness who call upon his name.
The dark is so dark.
And the light is so dim.
Thank God for the star that guides us to him.
Darkness, emptiness, loneliness, fear. All who want the light to shine on them, come here to the manger. Follow the light that breaks the darkest darkness on this holiest of nights. So come stars, it's our turn to shine. We will not let the darkness hold this little light of mine. Come stars to the manger. Be a light in dark places. We'll shine bright and share the light across all of the faces. All of those who look to heaven, this love born tonight erases any traces of a darker ages. That first Christmas night, a single star showed the way to Jesus, proving one star, one little light, ultimately frees us. From the darkness all around us, this little light of mine can brightly shine, leading others to Jesus.
So stars, stand, shine brightly on this Christmas day and every day after then. We are a bright city on a hill, not easily hidden. Be the light of Jesus wherever you may go and guide those walking in darkness. Come to the manger. Come home.
So, now you've heard the story you may have heard before of shepherds,
angels,
magi,
stars,
and Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us.
And I'm pretty sure this won't be the last time you hear this story of God's glory born in Bethlehem.
The story of God come down, born to be our friend.
He came for the poor.
He came for the rich.
And everyone in between.
He came to bring light to a dark, dark world.
He came for you and for me.
Jesus came for all people that first Christmas day, those who were nearby
or far, far away.
Jesus came to show God's love walking around on earth.
So on Christmas Day, we joyfully celebrate God's gift, his birth.
So come, shepherds.
Come, angels.
Come, magi.
Come, stars.
Come, however, wherever, whoever you are. With God, you're never a stranger. So come, everyone, come to the manger.
See that? A round of applause. I mean, thank you, kids. Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand? Why don't you stand with me? One of the things that we do as part of our missions outreach around here is we check in on Facebook. Yes, check in on Facebook. Not only does that let everybody know where you are, where you're worshiping today, but it also partners with missions. And one of the things that we're doing this month, and it changes every month, is we're partnering with a ministry that provides educational books to children in Tanzania, Africa, and so far, and this is what we're doing. So far, 34 books have been provided just by checking in. Isn't that great? And so make sure you check in. Share one of those pictures you just took. That would be great. Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship the Lord right now. Let's sing it.
It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plains. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation. A love song born of a grateful tower. just heard. 'Cause all the powers of darkness can't drown out a single
proud of you. I love the pictures that you're posting. It's wonderful that the family's doing that. And you know, today's reading in the Advent is from Luke chapter 2, and this will be a sign to you. And you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger, feet trough. I doubt anybody in this room would want to lay a newborn baby in a feeding trough for an animal. And that's where the King of Glory was. The simple signs we said Wednesday night of him being able to relate to anyone. Anyone. I hope that you, as you light that candle tonight and discuss this a little bit, that maybe the point that you'll bring is Jesus can identify with anybody, can meet anybody where they're at. And there'll be some good things for you guys to talk about tonight. But let's take a moment and let's pray together. This was said to the shepherds as they came from the hillsides down into that little village. They were told to look for a baby. And they said, this is how you'll know. This is how you'll know it's the one. Let me just pray this way, that sometimes, you know what, God tells us certain things. He says, look for this, and we miss it. Let's pray that our eyes are open and that we can see the signs, as it were, he's trying to tell us. Father, thank you. Thank you for Christmas, and thank you for all that it means. And Lord, there are many times that you point things out to us and tell us, look for this. And Lord, we don't want to miss it. We want to make sure that we see. And even though it may not make sense to our eyes and that a deliverer would come as a baby. And that God, sometimes we think our deliverance is going to come this way or that way. And we might miss what you sent to us. Help us not to, I pray. And may, Lord, we be like the shepherds, quick to carry your message to all those that we meet. Thanks, Father. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. You're seated. Thanks so much. Amen. 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 If I have not met you, I'm Pastor Brad. Great to have you here at the Seaport Community Church. And we just give you a very special welcome. Yes, we're going to come right now. We're going to receive our regular morning tithes and offerings. Thank you for your generosity. A special project this season to help us renew the lobby area and the tower and just kind of freshen it up a little bit as our giving tree. And so thank you. So far today, $1,075 has come into our $6,500, so off to a good start. Amen. And so the idea, remember, is to go out there to the giving tree, pull off one of the white covers and reveal the beautiful bulb underneath, and then you can take that right to the Welcome Center. You can also do it right online as well through Text to Give. You can't take off the cover, but you can give. Anyway, Lord, we receive this offering with joy. Thank you so much. Be glorified by our giving. Lord, in the holiday season, there's so many expenses and so many things, but Lord, help us to honor you. Thanks, Father. Amen. Amen. It was gripping. Even though I was just casually walking in front of the TV, the scene caught my heart and my attention. He was an adult son, and he was looking forward to reconnecting with his long estranged father. But the excitement in the scene turned to anger, angst, and incredible frustration. As in those just only moments, the son realized why the father had forsaken him, had forsaken the family, and walked out of their lives. The pain was immeasurable. I think in the heart of almost every single person, there's a deep longing to be in close relationship with our Father. And some of us have stories of great fathers, and some of us, we don't. You know, our hearts long for that. Now, conversely, there are lots of stories. Sometimes they're found in the lives of celebrities, significant people, who attribute their success to a father who, until that moment, is obscure and a no name. But because of their sacrifice and their time and their involvement and their support, often help their son or their daughter achieve the success. We have plenty of stories of both kinds. You see, God gave Dad the responsibility of being the primary influencer in a child's life. Studies continually show this. We often think it's Mom, but it's actually Dad who has the joy and responsibility of being the primary influencer. Just a disclaimer, I'm going to say some things today that they're not intended to be hurtful. They may come across that way, but I hope that they won't. But you know what? The whole concept of fathers and fatherhood is huge in Scripture. Just look up the word father in the Bible and you'll find it 1,000 times, 350 times alone in the New Testament. In every book of the New Testament, all 26 of the 27 books, it's absent only from 3 John, which is only 15 verses long. It's a big topic. It's an important topic. You know, and it makes sense that in a patriarchal, strong patriarchal society such as the Jews, that the promised deliverer that you just saw in that video, that the promised deliverer would be everlasting father. And this is much more than a founding father or a father of a nation. Everlasting father. And over the last couple of weeks, we have taken a look at this prophecy given by Isaiah in the book by his name, that the deliverer would be the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting father. But let's back up and let me just take a few moments and give you the backstory and just bring you up to speed. Maybe today is your first Sunday with us or you need a little reminder. Let me kind of bring us back to where we are in this story. The story basically in the book of Isaiah opens with the people of God, the Jews, in trouble one more time. It was a repeated pattern with them, you know. They had watched a glorious kingdom under King David and his son Solomon now disintegrate and break in two. So now you had the northern kingdom, Israel, and then you had the southern kingdom, Judah. And they were both in somewhat weakened positions, you know. I mean, they had gone through a series of recent kings had died, and they had had corrupt rulers, and they were in a weakened position. At the same time, a mighty nation to the north, Assyria, was gaining in power and strength, and under his own new leadership, you know, had eyes of expansion and conquest, and Israel and Judah looked like a good prize. The northern kingdom, Israel, had been suffering with continual invasion from another people called the Midianites. They would come in repeatedly, and they would come into the villages of northern Israel, and they would steal livestock. They would steal tools. They would steal jewels. They would take anything of any value. But what was worse was this. The Midianites would come into Israel, and they would set up little settlements, and the Jews just were so deeply angered by that because they felt like their country was being defiled by these non-Jews, and they felt humiliated, and they felt angry that this was happening, and screaming out and inside almost every Jew was, "Where is God? How come he doesn't come and help us? Where is he? Where is he?" Frustration and the pain, feeling like their father had abandoned them, was great. How could you let this happen to us? We meet young Isaiah, probably about 20 years of age, when he has this dramatic encounter in the temple where he sees God. He has one of the single most powerful encounters that an individual has with God in the entire Bible. It is so intense that even today, songwriters still write songs about what happened there in Isaiah 6. I saw the Lord. Even though that encounter was 2,700 years ago. It was a radical moment where Isaiah accepts a commission as a prophet. And his commission is to go to the people of God and to tell them to come back into right relationship, because that was the problem. They had forsaken God, and God had lifted his protection from them. His job was to tell them to come back into right relationship with him. But God told him they would never listen. And he was set out on a career that would last 50 years. And all he would ever meet would be arms crossed, neck stiff, eyes glared over, feet planted, and a heart resolute. No. We want God to provide. We want God to bless. But we don't want to live his way. And that's what he would meet for 50 years. That's what he'd meet. And so Isaiah prophesies, you know, and he says, you know, you thought you had problems with the Midianites, but it's going to get a lot worse unless you guys turn. Assyria is going to come. And then when Assyria is, you guys still don't get it. And then if it's not enough for you, then the Babylonians under the mighty King Nebuchadnezzar will come. He's prophesying all of this. And yet they don't listen. And what they do instead is they hear it as, well, God doesn't care about me. God doesn't care about us. God has forsaken us. God doesn't love us anymore. You can almost hear the whiny voice of your children going, you don't love me anymore. When you go to discipline them. You can almost hear that. You know? God continues to warn them and to love them and to reach out to them. Keeps upping the warnings. And they keep hardening their hearts. And sure enough, the Assyrians would come and the Babylonians would come. It would be 100 years before any of it happened. God was patient and merciful and gave them a long time. But they refused. They refused. But even in the midst of all of this, even early on in all of these prophecies that Isaiah gives over a 50-year period of time, early on there's a prophecy that says, you know what, there is coming a deliverer. There will come one who will deliver you from all of this. And that's, of course, the focus of the prophecy, the focus of where we're at today. And he gives them this well-known promise. And he's prophesying all of this stuff that's going to happen way in the future. And even telling them, yes, there will come a deliverer. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. And they heard this and they went, yippee, yippee, ki-yay! Now it's interesting, you know, we read those, that title, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. And we're familiar with it because we see it on so many Christmas cards, and we hear it this time of the year in church services, and we hear it in the lyrics of songs. But sometimes, you know, it's easy to gloss over and understand that it was very significant what's happening here, because it was common at that time in the ancient world for every emperor, every king, every ruler, every despot of any kind of significant consequence, they would have a 4 or 5 part name. And that would indicate supremacy and power and significance. And so when the Israelites are hearing this 4 part name, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, it said to them, whoa, this one is the big one. This one is a significant one. He is the divine warrior. He is the supreme planner. He is the one that has the power and the ability to set us free. He is the eternal sovereign one whose vision is to bring peace and not just conquest. That sounds pretty good when you've got the world's greatest armies bearing down on you with total destruction in their sight. But the child part was a bit odd. Deliverer, that's a child. How do you make any sense out of that? They didn't really know. And they didn't really think too much about it. They just figured they'd figure it out eventually. And obviously 700 years after the prophecy, some people would connect the dots that the mighty deliverer was not exactly what they thought was going to be. And that he would come as a baby. He would be that child that would come. But many missed it. Why did they miss it? There it is. It was plain in their scriptures. But they missed it because their minds were focused upon that the deliverer had to fit their ideas, their concepts of what it was going to be like, and they missed it. And we do the same today. John the Apostle went in his gospel to simply say that Jesus came to his very own, and his own didn't even recognize him. And when they began to recognize him, they refused him and rejected him. But we now come to that part of the story of the title, Everlasting Father. Interesting that he would be called that. It was designed to help them understand that he was related, that he was connected, he was part of them. He was committed to them. It was part of God's way of simply saying, I am more committed to you. I am more invested in you. I have sacrificed more for you than you could ever know. I'm more passionate about bringing the best for you than you could possibly know. That title indicated all of that. And God is somewhat frustrated. We don't understand this. We misconstrue this all the time. But God is frustrated in that they, because of their repeated sin and their repeated refusal to live in right relationship with him as they had committed to, that God is backed into a corner where he's got to bring discipline to get them back on track, just like any good parent doesn't want to bring discipline, punitive discipline, to their children because they don't want to do that, but they realize that if they fail to do it, then their child will not grow up and become what they could be. No good parent wants to bring any kind of punitive, but they recognize that sometimes they're forced into it. And God was forced into it by the hard-heartedness. Had to get their attention, and it would work, but it would be greatly painful. God did not want them missing the blessing. And you know what? If you fast forward to Hebrews chapter 12, you'll see that same pattern is still true. It still operates like that in our lives. Listen to this. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Sometimes you and I go through difficult places. It's not because God's hating on you. It's because God's trying to bring a correction so that you don't miss the immeasurable and unbelievable blessings that he's got prepared for you. And he's got to do a course correct with us. Painful, yes. But it produces, and as you read on, it produces a harvest of great blessing in our lives. Now, up until the time that Jesus arrives, the Jews had an understanding about the names of God. They understood God as holy, majestic, powerful, sovereign, the one true God, the Almighty God. That's how they understood him. And they also understood from their history that if you got too close when you were unauthorized or shouldn't, it could be deadly, literally. They understood all of that. They had the idea that, yeah, God is a father, but he's like a God of, in position and in power. But he's not really a God in relationship. Some of you grew up in those kinds of homes. Matthew, in his account, presents the deliverer is coming as a child. But he quickly fast forwards to the adult Jesus. And he presents Jesus as continually trying to represent his Father, God the Father, you know, as loving, gracious, understanding, prayer answering, engaged. It was shocking when they heard Jesus and what we call the Sermon on the Mount. As they listened that day, and Jesus said to them, when you pray, pray like this, my Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father. They were like, what? And some of them were connecting the dots, Everlasting Father, Heavenly Father. Some of them were connecting those dots. It was shocking to them as Jesus presents a God who is near, Emmanuel, a God that is connected to them, a God who is so in tune with them, he knows the number of hairs on their head, and when a sparrow falls out of the nest, they were shocked by that. Because they thought God was too far beyond them to understand that. And yet, here's Jesus presenting that. Shocking. You see, they also understood this. They had been taught wrongly. They had been taught by their religious leaders that God's name was so holy that if you said his name incorrectly, you might offend God and he would do something bad to you. People wouldn't even say his name. And today, there are places where they still will not say his name because they're afraid of that. They've never really understood that God is Father, but he's Emmanuel. God is with us. And when you get to the Gospel of John, you'll find out that John presents Jesus as talking about God the Father 100 times in those chapters. 100 times. That's like 5 per chapter. He presents, you know, Jesus talking about his relationship with God the Father and how that they are one and how that they're connected. But this was tripping out the minds of the Jews. It was just tripping them out. Because some of them began to catch on to what Jesus was really saying to them. And they're saying, wait, 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 wait. This sounds like blasphemy. How can you, a man, claim to be God? How can you claim to be one with God? That is blasphemy. And that was some of the pretext that they used to crucify him. They were getting it. There's an exchange that Jesus has with the religious rulers. And Jesus says to them, even before Abraham, I was. And they're like, what? What are you talking about? You're not even 50 years old yet. How can you, what? Say you were before Abraham? 1,500 years before Jesus was Abraham. And their minds are spinning. Because they realize that Jesus is claiming to be God, eternal, everlasting Father. That'd be too much for them. And it would set stuff in motion for his crucifixion, his execution. But what about the fulfillment of this prophecy, Jesus as Father, everlasting Father? Now, contrary to any kind of Hollywood speculation, Jesus did not father a child or children. Okay? That's just Hollywood nonsense, complete speculation, no validity to any of it. But if you look at Jesus' father, did he have the attributes and the characteristics of a good father? Well, he provided for people. Dads do that, don't they? He nurtured sick people back to health. Of course, he used supernatural power. He prayed for people. Dads do that. My father did a lot of praying for his family. Those images are burned into my mind. Those words etched forever in my mind and heart of my father's prayers. For his family and for countless others. He prayed for people. Jesus was there for people. Dads often go way out of their way to help others. He spoke the truth like dads are supposed to do. He spoke the truth to people. He sacrificed for others like almost any good father has done for his family at one time or another or multiple times. And I watched my own father sacrifice more times than I can count for his. I'm going to take a quick excursion, and I want you to come with me for just a few moments. You see, in preparation for this message, and I know about the power of fatherhood. I know about it. But in preparation for this, I came across something. It's not a quote-unquote Christian article. It's purely secular. But you know what? It's very interesting to me. Because it talks about the significance and the power and the role of fathers. And the importance of what your role is, Dad. And they cite a number of studies, and I just want you, I'm going to go through this very quickly. I'm just going to give you the high points of it. And guys, you can find it on the Men's Ministries Facebook page in its entirety. Kids that have a healthy relationship with dad, and please, by saying this, I know I'm going to cause some people to hurt just a little bit, and that's not my intention. But those of us that are dads and fathers and will be dads, you need to hear this. When a kid has a healthy relationship with their father, they learn how, because they spend time playing with dad, they learn how to play up better with others. It's interesting, studies show that when kids have a healthy relationship with dad, both their partner and those kids are physically healthier. Studies go on to show that kids who have healthy relationships with their father are more prepared for school and tend to be more successful academically. They go on to graduate and achieve at higher levels. Children that start speaking earlier and they're more verbally expressive. When a dad spends time interacting and talking with their child, that heightens the child's linguistic abilities. Children that grow up with a healthy relationship with dad are less prone to depression, fear, and self-doubt. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Their sons are less likely to be in trouble. Delinquency rates of sons who have a healthy relationship with their father are much lower. Their daughters are more ambitious in their careers and have a more positive self-image. You see why the Bible stresses the importance of fathers? Do you see why it's not just patriarchy that the Bible talks about the importance of male role models? Do you understand why that God is represented as a father? Because of the power of that influence to produce healthy people. What's a dad to do? You know what, dads? Obviously, love your wife, love their kid's mom, love that gal passionately. But more importantly than that, passionately follow and love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want to challenge you tonight, Dad, if you have relegated the Advent reading and candle reading with your family to your wife, you step up tonight and you lead it. Some of you have been doing it. Kudos to you. Step up. Some of you are hardly home, and I get it, but seize those opportunities. Dads, you know what? Our role is to be firm but loving. And I'm not taking anything away from mom, because mom often has to do all these things as well. So there's certainly, I'm focusing on Dad, but I'm not minimizing Mom at all. Live what you say. Live what you say. One of the greatest, probably the single greatest compliment my daughter ever gave me was in a letter that she wrote to my boss years ago. A lot of backstory here, but she simply basically said in this letter that I was what I appeared to be. I'm not sure there was a greater compliment, Lindsay, you could have given me. Be firm, be loving, live what you say, and love them relentlessly and unconditionally. I guess I could give you a big, long list, but I've given us enough. You say, well, Pastor Brad, this isn't Father's Day. Actually, every Sunday is Father's Day. Dads, lead the way. The everlasting Father. Notice again what Hebrews says. I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Some of you are sitting here wondering, how does this message apply to me? I wrote this message, and to be quite honest with you, as I do with every message, I say, Lord, where do you want me to go with this, and how do you want me to end it? We even prayed last night about the end of this message, and we're going to close. Those words, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, encapsulate the everlasting Father. Some of you have sat here in this message, and it's been painful for you because you never knew your father. Or he checked out. Maybe he checked out physically, emotionally, mentally, whatever he did. Maybe he was just so lost in his selfishness and his addictions and his abuse. There's a big hole in your heart. Maybe some of you are sitting here and you say, yeah, God, okay, God, Father, close, connected. No. Distant. Yeah. Maybe that's where some of us are. He was younger than me. And I knew him growing up, about 10 years younger than me. I knew he and his father. And his father, without being graphic, messed up about as bad as you can mess up. Terrible. What he allowed himself to become and do. I knew some of this years ago when I was 16 and 17. And I would reach out to this kid. And we had had a kind of a loose friendship over the years and reconnected. And sometimes when he came into the area, he'd connect with me and we'd have coffee together and just, he'd become quite successful. Following the Lord with all of his heart. Living in another part of the country. One of the last times I saw him, I looked at him and I said, where's your father? And this bright, conversant, successful man looked at me and then stared off and he said, "I don't know and I don't care." Wow. I want the band to come back right now. And you say, "Pastor Brad, what kind of a Christmas message is that?" I hope it's the one the Lord wanted you to hear. The Lord told me He was not going to tell me how to close this service until I got to this moment. Okay. And I think I know now how to close it. And it's going to take some courage on your parts. It takes some courage. And it's going to take the risk of facing some pain. We're going to do two parts. Here's the first one. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. And by standing, you're going to be saying, "I got a big hole in my heart." Maybe some of you, this Christmas season is just terrible. Maybe that hole is because maybe you just missed Dad. You had a great relationship with him. But some of you are just like, "Why couldn't he have just? Where is he?" Maybe some of you have moved past that. You're like my friend. But the hole's still there. So this is where it's going to take some courage. I'm going to ask you in just a moment, I'm going to ask you if that's you. I'm not going to ask you at this point to come forward. I'm going to ask you just to stand right where you are. And I'm going to pray for you. Because God, this is what the Lord told me He wants to do. He wants to bring healing to your heart as it relates to this issue. Because you say, "Well, is it important?" Because it's incredibly important for the next part of what we're about to do. The two are very connected because your relationship with God is often very connected to your relationship with your Father. Very connected. Are you ready to be bold? Are you ready to risk some pain? That's you. And you say, "Pastor Brad, I'm going to stand and I'm going to admit it. I got a big hole in my heart." And some of you are willing to admit it and some of you want to live in denial. At the end of the day, it's always our choice. The Lord wants to bring healing to your heart. That healing might come just by the simple fact that you're admitting it. It might come through prayer. It might come through forgiveness. Whatever it might be. But if that's you, then stand with me right now and just simply say, "Pastor Brad, pray for me. I got a hole in my heart and I need a healing touch." A lot of you standing. Yeah. Do you believe, those of you that are standing, do you believe God can heal the father wound? Do you believe that God can heal the father wound? You've taken a huge step just by recognizing it and admitting it. And some of you, this Christmas day, for the very first time in your adult life, are not going to sit by that tree with pain because of your father. It's going to happen to some of you this year. The memories are not going to control you any longer. Open your heart. Father God, I pray right now by your Holy Spirit. By your Holy Spirit, come right now and heal the woundedness that's in us. By your Holy Spirit right now, give us grace and strength to move past the animosity, the anger, the hurt, the wound, the disappointment, intense anger, whatever it is that we're dealing with. Help us to extend forgiveness if we need to do that. Help us to face it if we need to do that. By your Spirit, right now, bring healing. Some of you need to choose to forgive. And some of you say, I can't forgive. I don't know where he is. I can't forgive. I don't know what happened. I have lost contact with him. He's passed away. You can still forgive and be free from that. Will you do it? And some of you just simply say, God, I need grace just to reconnect with because I don't really want to. Here's the second thing that we're going to do. Remain standing with me. Everybody that's here, and you say, you know what? In my head, I believe that God loves me, but really in the depths of who I am, I can't connect with the Heavenly Father that really loves me. I get that He's God, the Creator, and all that jazz. He's the everlasting Father, but I'm not really connected to Him. Not like that. I just feel so distant from Him. And yet He is the everlasting Father that wants to be close in relationship with you. If that's you, that takes courage to admit this too. If that's you, stand with me. Some of you are saying, I got to stand for both. And that's fine. Now I want everybody in the house to stand. Everybody in the house, stand with me, please. The Bible says this, if you draw near to God, He draws near to you. And that's what you're doing right now. You're simply saying, God, I'm drawing near to you. I know you draw near to me. God, I pray for every single one of us that maybe, Lord, because We just feel distant from you. We feel like we're not connected. We feel like, yeah, you're our Heavenly Father, but we're not really sure you like us. We're not really sure that you care about our needs. God, I pray that you'd help us to move past that pain and to recognize that you're the God that's in tune with us and cares for us, who knows us by name and has tattooed our name to the palm of His hand. Just before we sing this song and get ready to close. You know what? I want the ministry team to come and stand across the front because some of you need to take this a step farther. Some of you need to just open your heart and you just need to say, you know, I just really need someone to really agree with me and pray that God would heal this deep wound in my life. And so for some of you, today is just the beginning of a process of that healing. And that's good. And some of you may need to go on and, you know, talk it through professionally, and you can do that too. But let's not live underneath that. Are you with me in this? God, by your Spirit, just complete this work in our hearts. Heal the wounds in our hearts. God, some of us right now have had so many memories flashing through our minds, it's painful even to be here. But I'm asking you right now to begin to heal us of some of that pain and help some of those memories begin to fade. Lord, we don't want to be controlled by them anymore. We don't want to repeat the mistakes of our Father either. Free us from that, God, that thing. Lord, we want to break that pattern so that it doesn't go down into our kids. Jesus' name. Come on, everybody, sing this with me as we sing this. If you need prayer, then come on, they'll pray with you. Sing this song, and then we're going to close. Thanks, Father, that you love us. You care so deeply about us. And Lord, may every single one of us move into that close relationship with you, our Heavenly Father. And Lord, some of us are really going to need your supernatural help and healing for any kind of restoration or reconciliation. For God to be free from maybe some of the hurt and the patterns. And I know that you are Heavenly Father, the everlasting Father, has grace and strength and power to deliver us from that, our great enemy. Thanks, Father. Dismiss us in your grace. Thanks, Lord. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Woo! Wednesday night, the prayers of Christmas. I hope you'll join us.
Thank you. whisper.